This is Monsignor Gray, and on Palm Sunday I offer the following reflection based on the Passion and the readings that we hear on this day. First, it does seem like such a strange time for us to not be able to gather together. I can assure you that one of the things that priests want to do is we want to say Mass for the people. That's what we were ordained to do, and so we very much want to do that. And I know that so many of the faithful want to attend Mass. It's part of what we're made for. And so it's this is something that is frustrating, because the very thing that we want to do, the desire we want to have satisfied, both for the priests and for the people, is to be united, and yet that's the one thing that we are not able to do today. And I don't assign any blame to any person. I know that both our church officials and civil officials are working to keep us safe. But what a shame it is, and also what a great loss it is, that the circumstances have occurred that that we're cut off from and denied the opportunity to receive that sacramental grace that we so often depend on, and that in times of crisis we need more than ever. And yet this is where we are. So these are crazy times. And one of the things about being in strange times and crazy times is that I think people tend to respond differently. Sometimes maybe you'll even notice that almost seems at times that people are going crazy, that people are very much affected by these circumstances. And I see a lot of fear, I think too much fear around. I know people are concerned for their health, but Jesus reminds us to be not afraid. And I think that a certain amount of that kind of perspective is a good thing for us to all hold on to. So people are fearful of sickness and disease, but let us put all those things in perspective and remember that the Lord is greater than all of that. And let us let our fear be overcome by faith. Let us cling to hope. Let us persevere in love, and not give in to fear as to let fear be the final answer. But instead, we put it in its place, and we put the Lord ahead of all of those things. I'm just observing some of the reports in the news. I'm concerned a little bit with how everyone has responded to the shutdown and the order to remain in place, because the reports are that more alcohol is being consumed than normal, that internet providers are having to, their bandwidth is being stretched from people watching Netflix, from Amazon Prime or YouTube, all of these different things. And so it's a reminder that I think there might be a lot of time wasted, and maybe not always the best habits put into practice at this time. And that gives me some concern too, because it's a temptation perhaps to kind of give up or to, especially in the remainder of this Lenten season, maybe to compromise a little bit on doing things that are good for us, on putting first things first, making sure that we do stay focused and don't just give in and give up on doing the things that we know are good for us or helpful for us, things that enrich us, instead just surrendering to our passions. And hopefully that's not happening, or that's a temptation that at least we can check. And so when we get to this day on Palm Sunday and we read the Passion, that reminds me in some ways very much of what's happening now, is that no one was acting normal. When we go through the Passion, we think about what is quote-unquote normal, and everything had been turned upside down in Jesus' Passion. So to that extent, maybe we are living through a very strange time like this, when it does seem that everything is turned upside down. So as we think about the way that all of us deal with the current crisis in this present circumstance, remember what happened when we hear the readings that go into Holy Week, how the crowds were ready to welcome Jesus with palms as he entered into Jerusalem humbly and meekly, as he came in riding into the city of Jerusalem. But then very quickly after that, we know that the people would turn on him. So it seems as though what they normally would expect, which was that Jesus had done so much for them and healed the sick, then suddenly they turn on him. Even the disciples themselves seem to be in a panic over the thought that one of them could betray him. It's unthinkable from the point of view of the disciples, as they've gotten to know Jesus, that anyone could turn on him. And yet that's precisely what Judas Iscariot did. What you think would be impossible suddenly becomes possible. As Judas is ready to hand Jesus over, pretending to be a friend, betraying him with a kiss. And so here he is dissembling, presenting himself as that faithful, loving disciple, but really what he is doing is handing him over to the civil authorities. What does Judas do afterwards? He regrets his decision. And so again, he's not thinking clearly or thinking normally, but even takes his own life. So what strange times these are. The disciples themselves, normally we think of them as sometimes being maybe a little rash in what they're saying, but oftentimes maybe bold, even too bold. Peter is one example, saying that he would even go to die with Jesus. And Peter typically is the one who's, if anything, is too exuberant. He was ready to call down fire upon the Samaritan village that did not welcome Jesus, and he didn't think twice about that. But then just a few short hours after the Last Supper, and Peter would even deny even knowing who Jesus was. And again, not the last thing that you would expect. No one is behaving normal. Everything seems to be upside down. The soldiers normally would have been afraid to arrest Jesus because so often they feared the people who regarded Jesus as a prophet. So even when they were told to arrest him, they could not do so. And yet now the soldiers arrest Jesus with impunity, and that the crowds are about now to turn on Jesus, and the crowds who previously had believed in him and loved him suddenly are ready now to turn on him and do the opposite. We think about the Sanhedrin before whom Jesus was put on trial. Normally, the chief priests, the members of the Sanhedrin, these are people who knew the Jewish faith the best. They knew the law the best. They knew that they were waiting for a Messiah. And one of the things that they should have done was to welcome the Messiah when he came. And yet, at the very moment when they have the Messiah in front of them, what do? They want to kill him and to crucify him. Strange times these are. Even Pontius Pilate, who has no religious faith in Jesus, but even he was looking to try to calm the crowds. He realized that the crowds were agitated, so he offered them a deal. Well, what would they take? They offer him the peaceful Jesus who had done so much good, who had never done any wrong, or an insurrectionist, a murderer named Barabbas. Well, Pilate, I'm sure, thought, well, this is an easy choice. Of course they're going to take Jesus over Barabbas, almost putting the Jesus up against the worst possible person you could imagine, so you think the outcome would be given. And what did the people call for? They wanted Barabbas instead. Strange times, just unbelievable times. And even though Pilate knew that this was the wrong decision, he didn't have any commitment then really to do what was right or to do what was just, and washed his hands of the whole affair. The soldiers then suddenly now given power over Jesus. Here these soldiers, these were all men through Jesus they came to be. They were made because God himself created them. And it's before Jesus eventually each of these soldiers would eventually appear to be judged at the end of their earthly lives, and yet here they are in the midst of their life, and mocking Jesus, striking him. It seems like a terrible position to be in, to be someone who treated Jesus so poorly, and yet we know Jesus would remind us that he would forgive all of those who had done this against him because they do not know what they are doing. So these soldiers, oddly enough, as they were not willing to show Jesus any mercy, they themselves will find mercy before the Lord, mercy that they were not ready to give him. But it's a remarkable thing to consider. Creatures mocking God, mocking the Creator in the way that they did. When Jesus was on the cross, he even says that expression, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I think that's a great passage because people sometimes, they forget the Psalms. And what Jesus was really doing was praying that 22nd Psalm. It's in the responsorial psalm for Palm Sunday, and it's worth going back and reading. It starts off with the expression of the psalmist as someone who feels abandoned by God, and the psalm goes on to describe in great detail many of the things that Jesus experienced in his own crucifixion, having his garments divided, taking all those things from him, piercing his hands and his feet. But if you read the entire Psalm 22, it finishes with hope. So by Jesus saying that expression, he was really reciting the 22nd Psalm. And in reciting the 22nd Psalm, it was both recognizing his current pains on the cross, but it was also an expression of hope. So remember that Jesus, there was no loss of hope. And in fact, that one expression is really, he says the first line of the psalm, but he's really praying the entire psalm. And that psalm really is one of trust and of faith. Faith that God will redeem the just one. And then Jesus is taken to the tomb. And this is something I'd like to think about for a bit more. That Jesus, when he died and is buried, he was suddenly taken away from the disciples. And this is not something to be taken lightly. That the disciples had Jesus around them for 3 years. That for 3 years they went about during his public ministry. And they had Jesus accessible to him all the time. That Jesus was there. He taught them. He performed miracles. He would challenge them at times, but they never expected that Jesus would ever go away from them or that they would lose him. And so the time of the crucifixion is particularly painful, I think, for the disciples. That for 3 days they lost Jesus. For 3 days they were without Jesus. I think sometimes in this period of time, especially without public mass, without this opportunity to go before the Lord, we might feel somewhat like the disciples, that we've lost Jesus or that we don't have the same access to Jesus or the Eucharist that we had before. And I think that can be very painful, just as the disciples experienced that painful loss of Jesus from the crucifixion. And so this time at which it seems Jesus is away from us, especially at this during Holy Week and at Easter, some of the most important days of the year, this is maybe particularly difficult for us to have to bear. And yet the disciples, we remember what was to come after that, that after that pain and sorrow of having lost Jesus, that then will come Easter and the resurrection. And I would encourage us all to look at this in the same way, that even though we're without the Eucharist for a time, or without Jesus for a time, in the way that we're accustomed to, remember, though, that all these things will pass, and this is where fear, I think, should give way to hope, is that this will, in fact, pass, that things will be restored, things will go back to normal. And when they do, this is a good time for us to really appreciate what's been taken away from us, to appreciate and have renewed faith in the Eucharist, and to really be grateful for that gift, to be thankful for that. To really make the Eucharist a priority in our lives, now recognizing what it's like to be without that, recourse to that for a period of time. So this time away, let this be something that creates a greater sense of hunger within us for the Lord, a greater hunger to practice our faith, a greater hunger and a desire to have Jesus among us. So on this Palm Sunday, I offer these reflections. We encourage all of us then to be safe, to persevere in faith, to continue through our Lenten commitments for this one last week before we reach Easter, and to place all of our sorrows and sufferings and trials, to offer them up to the Lord, to ask him to bless us in our sacrifices and in all of our endeavors. And we ask God's blessings upon each of you on this Palm Sunday. May the Lord watch over you always.